Hello and welcome to our Ely Team online service for Sunday, October the 11th. My name is Matt, I'm a curate in the Ely Team, and on behalf of all of the churches in our team ministry, I'd like to say that we're really glad that you're here with us today. As we gather together in both churches and homes today across the Ely Team, we're really keen to make sure that everybody, people of all ages and stages of life, and also all stages of faith, are welcome, and we're really glad that you're joining us. So as we begin our service this morning, let's take a moment to still our hearts and our minds, and to remind ourselves of God's presence with us, and to invite Him to meet with us during this service. And to give voice to our thoughts and prayers this morning, we're going to use our opening liturgy. So please do feel free to join in with the words in bold. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Faithful One, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we come now to our first song this morning, Come, Now is the Time to Worship, a song which encourages us to seek and enter into the presence of Jesus, the one who is faithful and whose word really is life. As we are led in worship by the team from St. Mary's this morning, please do feel free to sing along or simply listen to the words of this song as we come to worship today.
Thank you.
Father God, we do want to come before you today and worship you with everything that we are. Willingly, we choose to surrender our lives before you, to confess that you are Lord and the one who we are living for. Please help us today to know you at work in our lives and to know how much you love and care for us. Amen. Well, next up today, we're going to have our Bible reading, which this week is going to be read to us by Rachel. The reading for today is John chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. You might want to find this passage in your own Bible or on your Bible app so that you can read and follow along. And today we're continuing our series looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And this morning, Chris, our team rector, is going to be helping us to explore what it means when Jesus says that he is the light of the world. So over to Rachel for our reading, and then straight over to Chris for our sermon.
The reading is from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and anointed the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am a man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see."
Sometimes it's annoying being in the dark, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I hate being in the dark about anything. Sometimes I drive Debbie to distraction with my need to know. And sometimes it's scary being in the dark. When our children were younger, I had the pleasure of riding Space Mountain in Disney World, a roller coaster in near complete darkness, twisting and turning, dropping through a swirling wormhole with just enough occasional glimpses of planets and other trains to scare the living daylights out of you. Well, it certainly terrified me. And sometimes it's impractical being in the dark. Last week, I was bringing Deb a cuppa in bed, in a mug this size. And I didn't draw the curtains first, and I put the cup down on the edge of the table, and down it went, all over the carpet. That's an hour of our lives that both of us won't get back. And that's just physical darkness. But Jesus talks about spiritual darkness, which is far more significant. The people of Israel often blew it with God, and on a number of occasions, it ended up with them being taken into slavery by the local dictator and superpower. Most memorably, the dictator was Pharaoh when God's people were exiled in Egypt. It's worth reflecting how quickly and thoughtlessly a privileged nation flexes its economic and military muscles at the expense of the weak. This time, in exile, in Egypt, Israel had brought it on themselves. They'd been unfaithful in their relationship with God. But God, as seems to be his nature, forgives his people. He can't seem to help himself in that regard, which is fortunate for us all. He sends a shepherd, Moses, who challenges Pharaoh, and with some miraculous interventions, the Israelites are able to pack their bags, and Moses leads the people out of exile. It became known as the Exodus. And before them went a pillar of light, a burning fire, as God guided them to a place of safety. Until, on the third day of their journey back home, they cross the Red Sea and can finally celebrate their freedom, rescued from slavery, liberated from occupation, redeemed by God. Their next stop is the foot of a mountain, Mount Sinai. It's a moment designed for an estranged nation to make its peace with God. And Moses reminds the people of the Exodus, how God carried them out from exile on eagle's wings, an amazing act of grace, a gift from God. And now they have the chance to remain in that state of closeness to God by keeping their covenant with him. The Hebrew word is berit, used in marriage contracts, because God is inviting his people into a relationship that is so close that the best picture to describe it is one of marriage. And God says, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Basically, that means that they are to show the world who God is and what he is like. God is reforming the nation, a holy one, one not relying on greed and exploitation, but one shaped by compassion and justice and a heart for the vulnerable. It's here at Sinai that God offers them the Ten Commandments, the way to become an authentic human community once again. The first of the commandments is, have no other gods, that they remember that this is the one true God who liberates them, and they remember the story, and they will never be slaves again. Second is, don't worship any images, because how quickly we become slave to our idols. But God is saying a nation of priests doesn't need icons or pictures, because by their lives, the people will show the world what God is like. The fourth commandment appeals to them to take a Sabbath day each week to remind them they are no longer slaves, but rather that their identity is found in the God who rescued them and the God who loves them. These Ten Commandments are a new way to live in the world, representing God who hears the cry of the oppressed and liberates them. And the commandments are then expanded with special provision for kindness and hospitality to foreigners, care for widows and orphans, justice for the poor. In this new way of life, God seems to be saying, the liberation, the exodus that happened to you, make it happen for others. The grace that has been extended to you when you needed it most, model that to others. Listen for the cry of the oppressed. Remember, God is saying, this new way of life is possible if you keep the covenant. But this marriage vow, this covenant, turns out to be a big if. Because just a few generations later, God's people themselves have succumbed to the temptation under Solomon to build palaces and terraces on the back of the slavery of others. They had begun to misread God's blessings as favouritism towards them. They'd already forgotten their priestly calling to bring liberation to others. And so they were back in a form of exile. Because you see, exile isn't just about being dragged from your home by another power. Exile is about the state of your heart and mind and the state of your nation's soul. And they now found themselves strangers to God. And inevitably, once again, there were consequences. The Babylonians soon found their weak spot and took them into exile. It was during this time that some faithful Jewish prophets began to imagine a fresh start. They began to paint a wonderful picture of hope, not just for Israel, but for all humanity, for all nations, for all creation. They proclaimed, God is doing a new thing. There will be a new Exodus, for which the first Exodus will be merely a teaser. This new Exodus would tackle the real obstacle that lives deep in every human heart, that enslaves us to idolatry, violence, and death. It would tackle the Egypt we're all born into, out of which we all need an exodus. One of the prophets, Isaiah, began calling for liberation from oppression wherever it is found. God will come and gather the people of all nations and languages, and they will come and see his glory. And it would involve a physical leaving behind, a turning of their backs, because they wouldn't want to stay where they were. Isaiah says, in the wilderness, prepare the way, make straight in the desert a highway for God. We're called to walk in that way. Isaiah says, all people will see this together. Whoever they are, wherever they're from, they are welcome to join the procession of people heading home. back to their Creator, their loving God, to once again become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you, says Isaiah. Jeremiah says that in Jesus, a new covenant or marriage can be in our minds and written on our hearts, so deeply etched into our consciousness, we will naturally do the right thing. This love, this salvation, Isaiah tells us, will reach to the ends of the earth, will create new heavens and new earth. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. It's a return to the Garden of Eden. This will be a movement greater than a single nation, greater than any one ethnic group, greater than any one religion, which, as the Old Testament ends in a cliffhanger, raises the question, who will lead it? There is a pregnant pause. Until the New Testament begins and we find God's people once again in a form of exile, still living in Jerusalem, but under the brutal control of invading Romans. And Jesus, the light of the world, is born. God's own Son replaces the pillar of fire. Jesus leading us out of our own exile into the promised land. Hebrews puts it like this. The Son is the dazzling radiance of God's splendour, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. Jesus holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. Now every Jewish family would be sitting round the family table, remembering that they've been chosen by God to be a light to the world, a kingdom of priests to show what God is like. What if that was still a possibility despite the Romans? While Matthew, Mark, Luke and John seem to think so, they all quote from Isaiah 43, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." It's the announcement of the new Exodus, the new liberation, and it is talking about Jesus, the divine Son of God, walking with us on earth. It's not a coincidence that Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine at a wedding, where we hear echoes of the covenant, the restored relationship between God and humanity. Jesus says, "I am the way." There it is again, echoing Isaiah about the Exodus. An I am, which we will explore later in this series. This is how Jesus will bring us home from exile. We will follow the way, and he is the light of the world for that way. And what is illuminated by this light? Well, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus is bringing light into the world and intends that light to illuminate the whole world, to be a testimony to all nations. And in John 12, Jesus promises that when he's lifted up, he will draw all people to himself and renew all things. The whole world, all nations, all people, all things. This is the greatest, broadest, deepest, most inclusive liberation the human mind can fathom. And before his crucifixion, Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." And then, at his greatest moment of crisis, Jesus remains the light of the world. He could have called on his Father. He could have resorted to force, but that wouldn't have changed anything. In his death, he broke the cycle. He absorbed the violence. He remained true to himself and to his Father as the suffering servant. He put away the sword forever, regardless of the consequences for his own security, and went to his death, bringing light into the darkest of places forever. Now the world's nations have blown it with God often enough. Western civilization has blown it with God often enough. And you and I have blown it with God often enough. But because of Jesus, the light of the world, we can sit in our tears of frustration with ourselves and we can imagine a different kind of tomorrow. Liberation remains open to us. Jesus, the light of the world, shows us the way. That was true for me in October 1978. I didn't realise it, but I was in spiritual darkness. and then suddenly I found out who Jesus is. The life he led, the price he paid for me, for each of us. And light came into my life, the light of the world, permanently. And I am so glad. Because his light shines in the darkness of our lives, our wrongdoings, our idolatry, our abuse of power, the unwitting slavery of others. And this light hurts. It embarrasses us. We are ashamed at first. But behind that light is a love so strong, a grace so deep, a Holy Spirit so pure, ready to drive the waste from our hearts and minds, ready to fill the vacuum that remains, so that once again we can enjoy the promise of covenant with God. Once again we can live in freedom from sin. Once again we can live in restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. Once again we can be a priestly people, showing God's love to every home in Ely and wherever we go. Shall we pray? Isaiah says, "Rise up in splendour and be radiant, for your light has dawned, and Yahweh's glory now streams from you." Heavenly Father, may that be so with us. May we be so filled with your glorious Holy Spirit that we can't help but show the world who you are and what you are like. May we become for you the light of the world. May it be as though we are continually carrying the lantern, your light, everywhere we go. May we bring light into every meeting, every conversation. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for your word to us today and for your reminder to us that Jesus, the light of the world, leads us out of darkness to be in a loving relationship or covenant with him. So as we continue to reflect on Chris's message to us today, we're going to turn to our next song this morning, Give Me Jesus, which really is a prayer confessing how much we need Jesus to be with us in our lives. As we reflect on those times when perhaps we haven't been faithful to God, or perhaps when we feel like we're in exile, we're reminded that we need to return to Jesus and let him go before us as a pillar of light, one who will lead us forward into hope and restoration. So again, you might like to sing along to this song, or simply use this time to be still and to invite Jesus to be with you again in whatever season of life you feel that you are facing at the moment.
When I rise, oh, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. me, Jesus. Give me, Jesus. You may have all the world, but give me Jesus.
So, Father God, we do want to confess that we need you today. Thank you for your great love for us and for the way that you delight to lead us out of darkness and into light. Please help us today to look to you for guidance, for hope, for protection, and for everything else that we need. Amen. So we turn now to a time of confession where we have the chance to confess to God the times that we haven't followed him fully with our whole hearts and those moments when we've turned away from him and his love. So if you'd like to join me in this prayer of confession, please feel free to join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. And together we pray. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together we now affirm our faith using the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, if you'd like to join in with the words in bold, please feel free to do this. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And together we pray, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. And now we come to our prayers of intercession for today. During these prayers, when I use the words, Father, light of the world, please do feel free to respond with shine through the darkness. Father, light of the world, shine through the darkness. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we bring before you the needs of your world, knowing that although darkness so often seems to prevail, you are the very definition of light, who can drive away the darkness and reveal your glory. Father, light of the world, shine through the darkness. We bring before you those areas of our world in need of our prayers. We think particularly of those parts of the world facing natural disaster, of those places where earthquakes, hurricanes, typhoons, and other natural disasters have reaped their damage. We pray for those who are homeless, those who have lost loved ones, and for those who are facing a future of darkness and uncertainty. Father, light of the world, shine through the darkness. And we bring before you those working to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. We think particularly about doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers, but also those who provide practically for our community. We pray for teachers, for shop workers, for delivery drivers, and for so many others who give of themselves so selflessly. And we pray too for those who are unwell, for those who are self-isolating, or for those who are shielding. Father, light of the world, shine through the darkness. And we think today of all those prisoners of conscience, of those who seek justice in places of injustice, for those who profess their faith in countries where their faith is banned, for those who worship in secret today in fear of being discovered. Father, light of the world, shine through the darkness. And finally, we pray for all those whose lives are yet to be touched by the light and love of you, Jesus Christ. We commend those who have dedicated their lives to take your word out into the darkness, and we pray that everyone everywhere might know of and see the brightness of your life. Father, light of the world, shine through the darkness. So we offer all of these our prayers through the shining glory of God, the light of the world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we gather all of our prayers and our thoughts together today in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. So please feel free to join in with this modern version of the prayer at home or to say the more traditional version. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one last song for you to join in with. And this week it is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. This final song encourages us to imitate Jesus and be a light for him in our community, both in our words, but also through our actions. Traditionally, this song is based on a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, who we remembered this week in the Anglican Communion. He was a saint who spent his life sharing God with the world through his preaching and his words, but also his actions, his way of life, and the way that he treated other people, animals, and also the environment. So as we listen to this song this morning, you might want to use these words as a prayer and ask that God would use you to share him, the light of the world, with those who you work with, study with, or those who you see or talk to on a regular basis. We thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world. And this morning we wait on you and we offer up our lives to you afresh. And although we don't have much to offer you, we give you ourselves, our lives, our hopes and our dreams, everything that we are. And we pray that you would shine through our words and our actions to bring glory to your name. Amen. Well, as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, I have two quick notices to share with you. First of all, I noticed to encourage you that all of the churches in the Ely team have now reopened for worship. If you don't know what's happening at your local team church, then do contact your church wardens, who'll be able to advise you, or alternatively contact the church office at St Mary's by emailing office@stmarysely.org or calling 01353 659 550 and leave a message, and a member of the office team will give you a call back and put you in touch with the wardens at one of your local team churches. But don't worry, if you're not ready to go out yet or you can't get to church next Sunday, we'll be back with another online service at the same time next week. And our second notice is really to say a big thank you to those of you who've continued to support us financially over the past few months. We are very thankful that it's because of your generosity that our ministry has been able to continue through these strange and unprecedented times. Looking forward, if you would like to find out more about giving to any of the churches that make up the Ely Team Ministry, in the first instance, please contact the St Mary's office, and then we'll be able to give you further instructions about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely Team. So as our service ends today, don't forget that you can find out the latest details of all that's happening over the next week by visiting the St Mary's website. That's www.stmarysely.org. And as ever, if you do have any pastoral concerns or practical needs, then please do contact the church office and we'll do our very best to help you out. But for now, as we head out into the rest of our days and the week ahead, I'm going to pray a final prayer of blessing over us. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forever. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.